Well, we will, just a moment. Welcome, it's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. So you got to keep up with the program, Pastor, as we go along here. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning as we continue our journey through the book of Romans, one step at a time. Well, yesterday was one step. Today, Pastor Ostermeyer, you get to take seven or eight steps.
We're roaming through Romans.
We're roaming through Romans. I like always lyrical. Always lyrical when you come in. Pastor Tim Ostermeyer is here from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri. And yes, thank you for your observation, but the news did play at the top of the hour.
It did.
Well, we had it turned down.
We weren't listening to it.
Well, that's because I like to listen to what you have to say when you come in.
Oh.
Much better. I mean, what is the news full of these days? Now you've got government shutdowns and misery and mayhem in the world.
It's bad news.
Yeah. And you always come in here with a song on your heart and a tune on your lips, and it's great to see you again.
Good to see you, Roland.
I'm not making that up. You do. You come in here, you're always smiling. And you know, some of these guys sit down and go, how come you gave me just one verse?
Oh,
what
really?
Are we going to do with this? And then somehow we make it through the hour, and it's just a delightful conversation.
It's really funny because I think every time I come in, I say, this is one of my favorite parts of the Bible.
Well, you do. You do.
And didn't I tell you that? I use this section that we're doing today at every funeral I've ever done, and I've done maybe 70 or 80 funerals in the last 10 years. So
really?
I practically know this one by memory.
You've got some work to do here because a lot of suffering talk. We set you up a little bit yesterday with Pastor Kurt Taylor talking about Romans 8, verse 17. But we have to talk a little bit about how the faith is not about having a cheeseburger in paradise.
A cheeseburger in paradise.
That's what we all want, though.
I think so.
I'm going to join the church because everything's going to go my way.
I think that was the popularity of Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett sang of a paradise that everybody kind of imagines, laying on a beach, you know, sipping a margarita.
Sounds like heaven.
Paradise. I think that's also why...
All of them tourists covered in oil. Yeah.
So many Caribbean resorts and that do such great business. Everybody wants to have a little piece of paradise.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah, and if we're lucky, sometimes we get one for a week at a time when we go on vacation. Romans 8, verses 18 to 25 is your assignment for today. Would you start with prayer, please?
I will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. You've revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in knowing you, as you've revealed yourself in Holy Scripture, we know you are our Creator. You are our Father. You've sent our Redeemer, Jesus, into this world, to suffer and to die for our sins, that we may be purchased, redeemed through his blood and through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit who you send to us. We receive that redemption. We receive that forgiveness of sins. And that same Holy Spirit marries us into a one flesh union with Jesus, making us one with you, Father. For you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, three distinct persons, yet one God. And you have made us at one with you through the blood of Jesus. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us again today, increasing in us the faith that binds us into our Savior, increasing in us a knowledge of that Savior that we may recognize what's going on around us, that we may perceive the world in truth, that we may see things clearly, and that we may hope for those things yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You can reach us today if you'd like to join the question or comment, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Email, let me look at that. Look at that. All the lights are green. Good to go. Ready for launch, as they say. The email server up and running. KFUO@KFUO.org. Here's an important note for you, Pastor Ostermeyer.
All right.
At this moment. Now, it seems to be a slow Wednesday start here. I guess it's hump day all around the world. Only seven countries right now. Usually we double that by the end of the hour. Finland, Australia, and Japan, listening right now by way of stream. 29 states. Well, things are a little bit better here. Usually it's a little bit behind that, but we get up into the 30s as well. Sioux City, Clinton, and Algona, Iowa.
Algona, Iowa.
Algona, Iowa, known as the Peoria of Iowa.
Is that right?
That's right. If you can't play Algona, you can't play
anymore. There you go. There you go. I think I played Algona, actually.
Well, you know, this past weekend, yeah. Well, you have been around. People don't know about the previous vocation that you have, but...
I was a road musician for many years, and I know many, 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 many towns in Iowa and all over North America and Canada.
This past weekend, you know, a lot of Oktoberfest going on around here in the St. Louis metro area. Still a bit of a German presence, though it's not quite as strong as it used to be. And here we were, all these people under this tent, enjoying ourselves, robustly singing, "In heaven there is no beer." Hmm. And I am convinced that this is bad theology. Are you?
Well, you know, we don't speculate beyond what the scriptures say, but we know there's wine because the book of Revelation speaks of the great wedding feast and the choicest of meats and the finest of wines. So would there be beer available? I would, you know, at this point, then you defer to what you say when a little child says, you know, "I don't want to go to heaven if my puppy can't be there." Well, you know, if you want your puppy in heaven, God will see to it that your puppy is there. So if you want beer in heaven, I'm sure that the Lord will give it to you.
Well, I start out that way because here is our text starting at verse 18 of chapter 8 of Romans. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Well, we do have to suffer at this time, but there are ways of, I guess, mitigating that suffering, aren't there?
Well, yeah, there's great suffering now. The amazing thing, too, and I find this out as a pastor, is that how many people suffer in silence and think that they're unique. And think that for some reason God has singled them out to suffer, and that their suffering is a punishment because of their conscience that grieves them over the sinfulness that they've had in their lives. So they see their present suffering as God's punishment upon them, and it's unique and it is them alone. There's a lot wrong with that. There's a whole lot wrong with that. The suffering that's in this world is certainly a result of sin, but it's evenly distributed among all of mankind. And as far as the punishment, the wrath of God over our sinfulness, we don't look to our own suffering to find where that wrath has found its place, but we look to the cross of Jesus. That is where all of the wrath of God over all of the sin of the world, your sins, the ones that afflict your conscience, that is where God the Father took out all of the wrath, all of the anger, all of the hell, all of the damnation, and all of the punishment for your sins. All of it. Jesus said, "It is finished. It was done. It was all completely exhausted at the cross." So, now we've got another question. Well, then, what the heck is going on? What of all this suffering?
What of all this wide world of sports is going on here?
There you go. There you go. What of all this suffering? What of all this pain? What of all this sorrow? What of all this danger in this world? What is going on if God is not inflicting his wrath upon us? What is going on? And there's the question. There's the question. What is going on?
Do you have answers?
Sure. The scriptures have answers.
There we go.
When man first sinned, and this is talking about all of creation, so it's not just the people that are suffering because of sin and the effect of sin on the creation, but it's the world itself. Not only are our bodies dying, but the grass is dying, the trees are dying, the birds, the frogs, the air is dying, the atmosphere, the planet is dying, everything is dying, everything is under the curse of death. We go back to Genesis chapter 3, and when man first fell into sin, I'm going to do this off the top of my head, I think it's Genesis 17, 18, when God spoke to Adam, he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Thorns and thistles it will produce, and you're gonna have to work hard just to eat your food, and then you're gonna end up going back to the dust of the ground." So the ground was cursed because of the sin that came into the world. And then what did God do? God spoke to himself and said, "Now that man has become like one of us, lest he eat from the the fruit of the tree of life in the midst of the garden of paradise and to live forever. God didn't want man to live forever in a cursed world and in cursed bodies. So he shut man out of the garden, which was called what?
Paradise.
So if we've been shut out of paradise, there's no cheeseburger in paradise here.
Yeah.
This ain't paradise. We are not, and I got to say that three times. This ain't paradise. I'll say it again. In this world, I don't care where you travel, whether it's to the Caribbean, whether it's to Cancun, whether it's to Aruba, whether it's to Puerto Vallarta, I don't care where you go on this planet, it ain't paradise. Paradise is not to be found in this world. The paradise that the Lord describes in the Garden of Eden, the true paradise, is guarded by a flaming sword going in all directions. You're not going to get to it in this world. So it's not just you that's suffering. It's not just you that is under this struggle of pain and difficulty. There's everybody under it. Don't be fooled in believing that somebody somewhere in this world is enjoying paradise. That's the big lie of the devil. Remember, he's the father of lies. Paradise is not to be had at this time in this world.
Let me get the totality of our text in, because you've dropped right into one of the themes I wanted to hit today in this study. Beginning again at verse 18 of Romans 8. For I consider that the suffering of this present age, this present time, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and to obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Okay.
That's our whole text for the day.
That's the whole text for the day.
That's right.
Now, here's one of the things I wanted to focus in on. Ever since the fall, like it or not, admit it or not, see it or not, we're all struggling to get back to Eden one way or another. We want to recreate this for ourselves. And in many ways, you know, when you think about maybe our political fights, really aren't political fights. They really are theological fights about getting back and recreating Eden for ourselves. I mean, you know, you talk about the ground may be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
We got the EPA. They'll restore it, right?
That's right.
All right. Many may be forced to toil, but you've got OSHA who'll make it safer for you.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the leopard's going to lie down with the goat because they're protected by the Endangered Species Act. Right? Right? And death? How many scientists are out there right now trying to find a cure for death?
Well, you see? I don't know if there's too many doing that, because that's a... It's interesting, you know, and I've brought that up before, that of all the diseases and all of the difficulties that medical science continues to tackle and to go after and even show great success with, I don't believe anybody has on their agenda trying to do away with death. It's just not there. It's just too deep and too much a part of the entire workings and structure of what's going on here. To delay it, to confound it, to obstruct it. But mm-hmm. I think it's way, way too big of an obstacle to even pursue doing away with death. They've recently, in digging into the human genome, found the clock that says our bodies are to expire after 120 years, and who makes it that far anyway? And they think that by tweaking that, they might be able to lengthen a life to 350, maybe 400 years.
Hey.
They're very optimistic at this point about that, but they're not saying eternal life. I mean, if they can crank it up to 354 or 400 years, why not crank it up to 3,000 or 4,000 years? Or maybe it's impossible to even perceive that within the human genome. God, in his wisdom, cut us off from the tree of life so that we would not live forever here. We are not intended to be here forever. It is a cursed place. It is not paradise. And our bodies have been subjected to death so that we are terminal here. And this is what this section speaks of, that those who have the gift of the Holy Spirit, those who that Spirit has come to, has created in us a faith that enables us to have a hope in things yet to come. And through the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, in fact, our reading from 1 Timothy this last Sunday spoke of those things that lead us away from faith. And I think my sermon said, to be or not to be, that is the question. Because Hamlet, that was what Hamlet was talking about. Why do people hang on to this life the way they do? Why do people, regardless of how much pain and suffering and danger they have in this life, hold on so much? To be in this life or not to be in this life, that is the question Hamlet asks. Why do people hold on to this? Well, it's because of fear of death. And what awaits them may be much, 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 much worse. And our conscience tells us we deserve much, 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 much worse. What's the solution? Go back to the cross of Jesus. Remember how we started out this program? It's the cross of Jesus. Right. This is where everything you know you deserve, God the Father put on Jesus. This is where the punishment, the wrath, the damnation, the hell that your conscience tells you you deserve, or it should be telling you, unless your conscience is completely corrupt too. This is where God put it all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Trust in that Jesus Christ that God the Father gave, and who he put your sins upon, and who suffered and died for you, that you do not fear death, but you see that God has taken away everything that needs to be feared in that, and you share through the presence and power of this Holy Spirit who gives you that faith, that gives you that hope in what is to come. Then what is to come is paradise. It's not here. It's yet to come. What did Jesus say to the thief next to him on the cross who had faith in him? This day you will be with me in
paradise.
Yes, indeed. He didn't say, today, right now, we're having a bad day in paradise. No, 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 no. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. It is yet to come. And through faith in Jesus, we need not fear death, and we can look forward to paradise. And this is what it's speaking of in this scripture passage, where it's saying that the sons of man, along with all of creation, is anticipating, like a woman who's pregnant in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, looking forward to the end of this suffering, the end of this pain, when the joy arrives. When the joy arrives, it's like childbirth. Knowing that it's terminal, it's not going to last forever. It's got a particular term, and it will be over, and that's a good thing. And what awaits and what comes at the end is great joy, and we will behold the glory of the Lord, and we will be with him. And all of this is brought about, and all of this is assured, and all of this is our everlasting hope. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit who gives us a faith in the blood of Jesus, go back to the cross every day in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your conscience that nags at you. Go back to the cross of Jesus. This is God the Father's blessed assurance to you. This was his answer. This is where the wrath was all taken out for your sins, that you can have that peace and share in this excitement over what is yet to come, and it's paradise.
So you're born, you suffer, you die, and in spite of our best efforts, that's just the way it goes. Put that in a snow globe and try and sell it to someone. Yeah.
Not a whole lot you can change about that. You know?
No, you're stuck with it. But, so learn to cope? Is that the best advice?
But God came into this world of suffering and pain and death, and knows firsthand what we're going through. The scriptures speak of that, that Jesus, we don't have a God who's far off and unacquainted with suffering and unacquainted with sorrow and unacquainted with pain. No, he took on human flesh and set aside any special advantage he had. And when he felt pain exactly like any other human being, and sorrow and suffering and danger, all of it. He knows firsthand. You have a God who knows firsthand what it's like to be in the flesh in this world. And he is not unsympathetic.
Let's go to the phones quickly before we have to go to our break. Linda's been waiting. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Linda.
That verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And yesterday I prayed with a young mother that I've prayed with for about 4 years. She's now in hospice and dying with cancer. All of our other times that we prayed together, it was a hopeful prayer that she would be healed and God's will. And yesterday, she just has this wonderful peace. Yes, I probably have 2 weeks. I wish I had more time with my grandchildren. But she says, it's wonderful that throughout all of the days that she has had this and it is going through it, I've seen the glory of God in her. It doesn't compare to what she's suffering. The glory of God shines out from her and through her prayers and through her life. But yesterday she says, one thing I do ask God that I don't die drowning like I felt like I was drowning yesterday. And I said, however it happens, you're going to glorify him. It's going to be to his glory. And I just thought that was very applicable to that verse when you read it this morning, Brother Roland. I think, that is a lot of what it means. Whatever we go through here and now even, the glory of God shines upon us. His countenance covers us, and it gives us the strength for the moment. I said, don't even worry about next week. He might keep you here another year. They kept telling her she had a few weeks left all the time, a few months, you never know what God has in store for this young woman.
You make a great point, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
You make a great point that while we wait in anticipation of what is to come, and we wait in anticipation of this paradise that is yet to be revealed, and we look forward in hope and faith, we are not abandoned. For that same Holy Spirit that holds us in that faith, that gives us that hope, is ever present with us. And God, and that faith and that hope and that power and presence of the Holy Spirit gives us what we need in the midst of whatever suffering and pain and even death that we endure in this world. Always what we need. And even in our weakness, as St. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, when he talked about his thorn in the flesh, and he wanted whatever his ailment to be, or whatever his ailment was, to be taken away. The Lord came back and said, no, because when you're weak, I'm strong. And Paul said, I'll boast all the more in my weaknesses because of it. So even in the midst of affliction in this world, and as St. Paul was afflicted, many of us are afflicted. We're all in bodies that are dying. We will know pain. Jesus said, in this world, there will be trouble. We will know pain. So don't think that that's God abandoning you. Don't think that that's God forsaking you. As long as you call Jesus Lord and you look to the cross and you trust in the blood of Jesus, that Holy Spirit has not departed from you, and you are still safe within his hand, and no one will snatch you out.
The text today is Romans 8, 18 to 25. That's Pastor Tim Ostermeyer from Hope Lutheran Church in beautiful
downtown St. Anne, where the birds are always chirping and the sun is always shining.
We'll be right back. Stick around.
This week on Lamplighter Theater. Jesus! Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. On the water!
Come.
We follow, we wait, and then we strike.
Your daughter is dead, my lord.
No!
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, the president of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Did you know it only takes a few words or a kind gesture to lift up someone in need of hearing the gospel? You can help LCMS Ministries concentrate on doing more and reaching more. With the Lutheran Church Extension Fund investment, you empower ministries with loans and resources that keep the mission moving forward. Investments directly benefit LCMS schools, congregations, care centers, universities, and international ministries. Visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233.
What's missing from the media coverage of recent terrorist attacks on a mall in Kenya and a church in Pakistan? We'll find out Wednesday on Issues Etc. from Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service. Also on Wednesday, we'll discuss Jesus healing a paralytic from Matthew chapter 9.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Tim Ostermeyer is here, and as we said, it's in beautiful downtown St. Anne that you will find Hope Lutheran Church. Anything going on at Hope? I didn't get a chance to ask you at the start of the program.
Worship every weekend. We have Saturday evening worship at 6 p.m., Sunday morning worship at 8 a.m. and 10:45 a.m., and Bible study and Sunday school for the young people every Sunday morning between the two services from 9:25 to 10:25. Now, here's something crazy, too. How many churches do this? We have a Bible study on Tuesday evening.
Do you?
We have a Bible study on Thursday afternoon.
Really?
We have a Bible study on Saturday morning. We have Sunday morning Bible study from 9:25 to 10:25.
And you still find time to show up here?
And
I am surprised. Thank you for that.
And I say, and if there's not, and if one of these Bible studies doesn't fit your schedule and you want to study the Bible, let me know. We'll start another one.
Well, I will point this out, that... you have been a regular here on the Bible study for a while, but also your congregation. If that voice sounds familiar, if while preaching you hear some teaching and vice versa this morning during this hour, that's a very familiar voice because Pastor Ostermeyer and the good folks at Hope have been one of the regular Sunday congregations for worship broadcast.
March, April, and May. We've been doing that those 3 months in our 10:45 a.m. service. It's been a great privilege and an honor to be a part of that. It really has.
And what's amazing, as you say,
that KFUO is listened to all around the world, and the emails that come in of people reacting to the worship service, and it's great to be part of a worldwide mission like that. It's really, really wonderful. I think that most of the folks here in St. Louis that listen to KFUO don't realize that there are people listening all over the world.
Well, Finland, Australia, Japan, Israel.
Exactly.
We regularly get, we get these little pings when people stream, KFUO. And we have software that doesn't track them, but just tracks where these pings come from. We're not the NSA. Don't worry. and we have, we get pings from places like Saudi Arabia and Egypt and North Korea, which are remarkable things.
Isn't that amazing?
Because, in your mind's eye, if you think about this, you can almost picture someone somewhere in the evening, somewhere very quietly where other people aren't going to hear them for fear of what, may come if they're found out. Listening perhaps with just a little laptop or maybe an iPad if they have one or something, whatever they may have, tuning in this little radio station.
And this is off the subject of this particular text, but it's on the subject of the opportunity that Christians have, whether they're on the radio here, whether it's our Sunday worship, or whether even if, as a pastor, I think this way, that even when we're not on the radio, you never know when that one opportunity that somebody's going to be in the church on Sunday morning or somebody's going to wander into the Bible class. It's important to study text, and it's important to get into a lot of the minutiae, but it's always important in every opportunity of worship and Bible study to lift high the cross of Jesus, because it may be that one opportunity and that single opportunity that someone will hear and not get to hear again and need to hear of God's plan of salvation, how he came into the world to take your pain, your suffering, your death, your hell, your guilt upon himself, that you need not fear the day of judgment, you need not fear death, and that you trust. You live in a trust in that faith. Now, that faith comes by hearing. That's Romans 10, 17, coming up in a couple of chapters, one of my favorite verses. So let that faith come by hearing. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that works through the very message of the gospel. And what is the gospel? The good news that God so loved the world in Jesus, he sent him to die for our sins. So we need to continuously share that. Study the scriptures deeply. They are so rich, you'll never, ever, ever hit the bottom. You'll never dig so deep that you've somehow encompassed them all. And yet, in the midst of it all, they all point to Jesus, God's plan of salvation. That's the whole purpose of the scriptures. And we always need to be mindful of that. For that one individual that may only get one chance to hear.
If you joined us a little late this morning, the text is Romans 8, verses 18 to 25. The one thing about creation, and well, if I could summarize it like this, Pastor Ostermeyer, God alone is the rightful Lord of creation. Yes?
Yes.
Ain't that frustrating?
Why is that?
Because we don't have a say in the matter.
Oh, that he's the Lord of creation?
Yeah, it's his stuff.
Well,
it's all his, and we like to think of it as ours. And
that goes back to the original sin.
Yeah.
God was the creator, and God was the master, and mankind was underneath him, and he told them what to do and what not to do. And the original sin was, if you eat of the fruit of this tree that God told you not to eat of, then you will be like God, knowing good and evil, making and calling your own shots.
Mm-hmm.
You will be in charge. Yeah. You get the boss's job. He's the boss. He's the Father. We want to cast off the Father, and we want to be in charge. We want to call our own shots. We want to decide what's right and wrong. And that's what you just said too. Isn't that a drag?
Yeah.
We can't be in charge of things. That's just the heart of the sinner. And in theology, they say rightfully so that the sinner wants God dead.
Yeah.
And that may cause a lot who are hearing that to recoil and say, "Oh no, I don't want God dead." Yeah, you do. You do. You want him out of the way. You want to be the boss. You really want to be the boss. You want to be in charge. And that in itself is the heart of we want God dead. We want him out of the way.
Let's go back to the phones. You can reach us this morning, 821-0850 here in the St. Louis metro area. 1-800-730-2727. That number works from anywhere in the continental United States, even some parts of Canada. And if that doesn't work or you don't have a dime to call, try the email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Cheryl, you're up next. Thank you for waiting.
Hi. The verses about creation groaning reminded me of last year when we had a three-month drought. And I'm an artist, and I like the color green, but when I was out walking my dogs, the grass was brown, and it was brittle like straw, for it just seemed like it was never going to end, while the leaves on the trees were still green. And it was so strange to me. And then I was reminded of Psalm 42, verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then in John 4, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water I give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that reminds me of my baptism.
Excellent, excellent point, Cheryl. Again, pointing to the fact that this world is not paradise, and yet in Christ, he comes and offers us paradise, and it's in him. It's in him. He is the promised land. He is the ultimate destination. and it's being in him. I always love to play on the fact that marriage is God's plan of salvation. He marries us into Jesus. The book of Revelation speaks of the great wedding feast and the great wedding banquet. And we don't find life, and we don't find forgiveness, and we don't find redemption just in knowing Jesus or just in being with Jesus. We find it in Jesus. He brings us into himself, and in him is that paradise. In him, married into a one flesh union with him, is that eternal refreshment, as he says, the waters that well up unto eternal life. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're like branches broken off on the ground, growing brittle like the grass you were talking about. And yet he is the living tree. He is the tree of life. And through the waters of baptism, grafted back in. We have that life. We are not with him. We are in him. And that is the life. What a great, see, you're thinking theologically. You're when you walk around and you look at the creation and you look at the brittleness of the grass and you think of yourself, no, not me, for I have the waters of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Yes. Yes, something greater than the nature that is under the curse in this world. You. Now, this brings us to the other part of this reading here, where it speaks of we've got the first fruits. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. What are the first fruits of the Spirit? Well, that's the redemption of our souls in Christ Jesus. But obviously, our bodies are dying and they're in pain. So we are yearning for and waiting for. Inwardly, we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's yet to come. Yet to come. We're still waiting to receive the final portion of the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus, when we receive our glorified bodies and we enter that paradise, the new heavens and the new earth that God creates, and that ultimately comes at the end of the frustration of all of nature. We've got a lot to look forward to. And once again, the reason we have such hope and we have such joy and we have such anxiousness in the midst of pain and suffering, like a woman in childbirth, is because of the cross of Jesus and God's promises in him. We need not fear the outcome. To be or not to be? Yes, to be. To be in Christ Jesus is our everlasting hope.
Cheryl, thanks for the call this morning. Enjoy the fall colors there in Indianapolis. They're coming upon us soon. I walked out this morning, looked up at the tree that my car was parked under, and there's tinges of yellow already starting to show up. Now, yeah. It's a honey locust. They tend to be the first ones to go.
I noticed the small tree we planted a couple of years at the edge of our driveway this morning, all the leaves had already changed.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I with great trepidation, I offer you yet another caller.
Oh, because don't, there seems to be a caller. Don't bring this guy on the air.
You don't want him on the air?
I know this guy. This is Bill from Breckenridge Hills.
Yeah, that's why I said, do you really want to go there? Well, let's see what happens. Let's spin the big wheel of what happens
next.
I love
Bill. Bill's a member of our congregation.
Bill, you're up. Go ahead. Bill, hang on a second.
Oh, Globes.
There he is. Hang on, Bill. Back up. We just... We started you a little bit short there. Begin from the beginning.
Oh, okay. I went to put in my order for snow globes. It's only about 90-something days before Christmas.
That's right. Less than 100 shopping days. Go for it.
Is that right?
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to make a statement. The book of Romans, I think a lot of Christians might think that the book of Romans were just written for the Romans, and they think, I guess they connect it maybe with the Roman Catholic Church, and that, a lot of Protestants, they don't use the book of Romans as much as Lutherans do. That's just a kind of a little idea I had in my head. It's probably bogus, but it's just something to kind of think about. A lot of people don't really study the book of Romans. They'll use all kinds of other books, especially the uplifting books that tell them they can have their best life now and all the different things and that. And I was just going to mention the fact that the other day that they talked about the Pope, and that now he's going to declare a couple of the Pope's saints as if they weren't saints all their lives being believers in Christ. I was just wondering if you'd make a comment about that for, you know, for Roman Catholic Christian friends and things like that. And I just hang up and listen to what you have to say, because I know Pastor Ostermeyer, he just about gets everything just right where you can really understand it well, and I really appreciate him as a pastor. He's a very good pastor, and the Holy Spirit is really working through his ministry, so I'll just hang up and listen to what you all have to say. Thank you.
All right, Bill, good to hear from you.
See, Bill, you make me feel bad for making fun of you now because you're so complimentary.
That's all right. He'll see you in the confessional later. Just kidding.
Yeah. I comment on a couple of things he said. One, the book of Romans. I didn't know that anyone would stay away from the book of Romans because you know, they might think it's Roman Catholic or something. In fact, out of all the books, and I said this last time I was on, that if there was if I was going to be exiled to an island, and they said I could only have one book out of the entire scriptures, out of all 66 books, I could only have one to spend the rest of my life with, it would be the book of Romans. You know, there are commentaries written on all the other books of the Bible, and there are many commentaries written on Romans. I wouldn't want to have to try and write a commentary on Romans, because Romans is a commentary. It spells things out very clearly and precisely, and it doesn't require very much interpretation or commentary. To read the book of Romans is an awesome thing to do, and I've only once or twice in my life been able to sit down and read it from beginning to end without being completely overwhelmed and having to stop. Many times, and most of the time when I'm reading the book of Romans, it just fills my head with so many, many things I can't continue to read. I'm reading words, but I'm still thinking about what I already read. And you've done that before, where you've read a page and you realize, I just read every word, but I don't even recall what I just what it said, because I'm still thinking about what was on the previous page. The book of Romans is like that. And then Bill's other comment was about the Pope canonizing. As the scriptures make it clear that those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have faith in Christ Jesus, those who call Jesus Lord, who trust in that redemption that is in Jesus, at his cross and his open grave, are already saints. Theologically, we are called now the saints militant, because we're still struggling. We're still fighting the good fight of faith here. Those who've gone on to heaven are called the saints triumphant. But Paul, even when he writes to the churches in the scriptures, if you go to Ephesians, he opens it up, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not writing to dead people. He's writing to living people. Those who have faith in Christ Jesus are called the saints. When he writes to the church at Philippi, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, those who have been sanctified through the washing, the washing that has come in the blood of Jesus, those who have faith and who trust in him and in him alone have been washed clean and are God's saints. Now, they don't need to be canonized. They don't need you don't need to be declared by a church council or a pope to be a saint in heaven. You are declared by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to be redeemed, to be God's own child, to be atoned for in the blood of Jesus at the cross. It's not something that you wait to have come. It is something that has come. It is finished. That atonement has taken place, and through the presence and power of the Spirit. That's one of the things, too, that's mentioned here in this, talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and all of this, giving us this hope, giving us this faith. And if you're wondering whether you are redeemed, the scriptures, Ephesians 1, chapter 14, says that the Holy Spirit within you is the deposit that God has placed, guaranteeing what is to come. And then you may say, well, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? The scriptures say that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. So if you do look to the cross and you say, well, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Yes, Jesus died for my sins. And you truly believe that, the Holy Spirit is within you. The deposit that God has given you, guaranteeing that paradise to come, is there. The deposit has been made, guaranteeing, and God does not lie. You are a redeemed child of God, and you are one of his saints, sanctified, made holy, washed clean in his blood, and the guarantee is the presence of that Holy Spirit, because no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from that Holy Spirit. You may say, oh, well, sure they can. No, they can't. God deliberately, it says in Scripture, chose the foolish things of this world. And if you look at the cross and imagine for a minute that you don't have faith, that doesn't look like a God up there. If you imagine Jesus dead on a cross, that's not a God. That's not a Savior. That's a big loser. But with eyes of faith and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you perceive the things that God has chosen, the foolish things of this world, like the cross, that is the wisdom of God and the righteousness of all who believe. And the presence of the Holy Spirit gives you that faith, and it speaks in this particular section that we have today of that hope that we have, for it is in this hope that we are saved. And it says, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. No, we hope for what we haven't seen yet. For what we haven't seen yet. 1 John chapter 3 says, when Jesus appears, we will all then be like him. Yeah, we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies too. And when he appears, when you see him, he who you hope for, hope disappears, faith disappears, and all that remains is love. You bask in the love, you bask in the presence of God, and that salvation is finally completely capped off in the redemption of your body on the Christ on the last day.
But let's talk about verse 24 for a moment. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? Now, but if we only knew, if you could only expose in totality what is to come in the world to come, wouldn't more people believe?
If you could say that again?
Well, I mean, we don't know. There's not a whole lot of information as to what is actually going to be going on the new heavens and the new earth.
In fact, that's our first verse when he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We have no idea. I mean, we can, our imaginations will fall tremendously short of what that glory is. What is it like to be standing in the glory, the doxa, as it says in the Greek, the light, the shining, the glory of God? In fact, one of our in our adult Bible class on Sunday morning, we're in the book of Numbers, and it talked about how the glory of the Lord appeared before the people, and somebody raised their hand and correctly asked, what was that? And I said, I don't know. What is it like to stand in the glory of the Lord? I don't know. Oh. You know, to visibly behold the glory of the Lord. As I said, the word means like a shining, a great presence, a manifestation, the glory of the Lord. We just can't imagine. We can't imagine in this world of that's not paradise what it's like to be in the presence of God, which is paradise, and the shining radiance of his glory.
So you get a harp, you get a cloud.
Yeah, see that
sounds
whole idea.
Dull. Yeah. Sounds
yeah.
dull.
Yeah, it's not harps and clouds and angels floating around, you know, in a mist somewhere. No, it's in the glory, the shining radiance beyond anything we've ever seen or can imagine in this world. That's to be in the presence of the glory of God. And when Jesus finally does appear on the last day, that's when the redemption of our bodies. We receive our resurrected bodies with no pain, no suffering, no death. The day he wipes away every tear and paradise restored, like Adam and Eve before sin, in perfect bodies, in the presence of God, basking in his glory, eating food but not to live, eating food because it's enjoyable, and being in bodies, reunited with souls, in paradise restored, in the presence of God and his glory forever. This awaits all of us through the salvation that the Father has brought about in the life, the death of his Son. What a God we have. I said this yesterday when I was talking with a couple, that the Bible from beginning to end, it's not an instruction manual on how to get to heaven. It's a love story. It's a love story of God's love for his bride, his children, his creation that has departed from him, and yet he has gone after them and saved them.
Let's grab one more call before we let you go, Pastor Ostermeyer, and that's Larry. Larry, good morning. Did you get your CD? I sent that out to you.
I did. I was calling to thank you, Roland.
And we do stuff like that around here.
I listened to it again last night. That is one fine hour of Bible study. There's a lot of meat there. But I'm jealous of the 11 handicap. Anyway.
Little inside baseball. Don't worry.
Pastor Ostermeyer, there's one thing that God can't do.
Oh, there's a lot of things God can't do.
He can't see our sin through the blood of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. He can't be evil either. That, yeah.
You mentioned that verse that no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. It got me to thinking about when Christ departed the earth, he made a promise that the Holy Spirit would come and do three things. He would convict us of our sin. He would tell us of a judgment to come. And he would tell us of our alien righteousness that we don't speak enough about. That here on earth, we're declared as righteous as Christ. We don't speak like that. But if we don't speak like that, we would therefore be unrighteous, correct?
That's part of the presence of the Holy Spirit, to believe that though I sin each and every day, I have a righteousness that has been declared by God, that's come by his grace. And grace, I love to give the definition of grace. It is a gift that graciously flows from the Father's heart. It's not something we deserve. It's not something that he owes us or anything that we've earned in any way. It's pure grace, and it is by grace through faith that we are saved, not of works, lest any man boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So, yes, that it is an alien righteousness. It comes from outside of this world. It's not a righteousness known to this world or to anyone in this world apart from those who've received it from out of this world through faith in Christ Jesus, the very presence of the Holy Spirit, that deposit, that guarantee that God has set within our hearts that we may have peace. We may have confidence now in spite of everything that our flesh tells us, everything this world tells us. The world is dying. Our bodies are dying. There's suffering. There's danger. There's peril on all sides. And we know we deserve nothing but hell and damnation. But the presence of that Holy Spirit and God's promises in the Holy Scripture that we believe because of the presence of that Holy Spirit point us to the salvation that he's brought about in Christ Jesus and him alone. And the day you breathe your last, you need not fear, for that is the day you will be with him in paradise.
Pastor Tim Ostermeyer serves at Hope Lutheran Church in beautiful, always sunshining downtown St. Anne, Missouri. Thank you, my friend. Loved seeing you. Man, that smile's infectious. I'm going to carry that with me the rest of the day. All right, coming up next, it's Faith and Family. You don't want to miss it. Mark Hawkinson at noon with Moments of Assurance. Good programming throughout the day. Stay with us.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.